AM 700 KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us now here at our studios at 9th and Gamble. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dave.
Always a pleasure to see you, Doc. If you look up the word chiropractor in the dictionary, it will say, or at least my dictionary does, that a chiropractor is a health professional who treats conditions related to bones, muscles, and joints, musculoskeletal problems, usually with manipulation. Is my dictionary's definition of who you are and what you do correct?
I think you're leaving out a huge part of what a chiropractor is. Musculoskeletal, that's muscles, bones, right? What about the neurological component of that?
I'm going to call Webster's about that right now.
Call that Webster's up there and tell them that they're wrong, because it is a neuromusculoskeletal provider, if you will, and treating symptoms. Well, we know that we try to get to the cause of the problem, not just treat the symptoms. So I think that the Webster Dictionary was written by someone who thought they knew what a chiropractor was, but really maybe not 100% correct on that. So
mine is an older dictionary.
All right.
Has chiropractic moved forward to not just work amongst conditions related to bones, muscles, and joints now?
I think it went forward, then it went backwards, and now we're getting back to forwards
there we
again.
Go.
Because when it all started, the first chiropractic adjustment, which is coming up here, is September 18th, which is our anniversary date of Founders Day.
Yes.
Which we usually have a little party. That was done to Harvey Lillard, who was deaf for 17 years, so deaf he could not hear the wagon wheels upon the cobblestone streets below. And he was deaf for 17 years. He was, D.D. Palmer was working on that system of health care, and he was working on the tone of the nervous system. And he thought that if there was a misalignment putting pressure on a nerve responsible for hearing, if he removed that interference, then the body would restore. And that's exactly what happened. He found the bone out of place, racked the bone back into position, and the man was instantly restored his hearing. And then it was Samuel Weed. It was a heart patient. He wasn't getting better by the hands of the medical doctor. So he was adjusted and his heart symptoms went away. So not just treating the symptoms, but getting to the cause of the problem. And it was all neurological. It wasn't about pain. It wasn't about low back pain. It wasn't about neck pain. It wasn't about headaches. It was about the underlying condition of the body and the tone of the nervous system. And then it went all the way up to where with the 70s and 80s, where, look, insurance companies will pay for chiropractic care. And look, chiropractic care is good for low back pain. Well, we know it can do that too. And now we're dealing with that. Now we're getting back to all the research and all the studies that are saying, hey, chiropractic's so much more. Look what it does to the parasympathetic nervous system. It increases that over the sympathetic nervous system. So that comes down with the atlas adjustment. So you're not in that fight or flight system. Well, that's not pain related. So it has so much more to do with everything else that now all the research is going back to the early days, 127 years ago, and saying, oh.
When you bring Harvey Lillard's story into the 21st century, how do you examine that as to his miraculous recovery and his hearing's miraculous recovery?
Well, when we did this radio show 14, 15 years ago, there was a guy, we used to have callers, and we used to just listen to what people would say, and this guy called in, and he was yelling about, there's no way possible that Harvey Lillard was adjusted and restored his hearing. And so I started doing some research, and I called Dr. Dan Murphy, and I said, Dr. Dan, you have the neurology of the subluxation, you have all these other things, and explain to me where you think it is. And he said, well, it's probably around the T4 area, because the T4 sympathetic chain ganglion, it goes up to the auditory nerves, and it's probably that area. Interestingly enough, David, because you are the man, and I get chills every time you do this, because I never know what you're going to ask me, and
right.
This is fun, and that's why it's an unlimited conversation, David. So the other day, this guy was, I said, nice T-shirt. And I said, what's that all about? He said, well, it's lenses. I said, underwater lenses, because the guy was a scuba diver, lived in Hawaii. And he said, yeah, I was following this guy, and then I saw him on the beach one time, because I was following his videos, but he was deaf, and he still is, and I saw him on the beach walking with his wife, and I was yelling, hey, I enjoy your stuff, and he said, I figured out that he couldn't hear me, so his wife heard me, and I said, well, and then he started signing him. I said, well, do you know sign language? He says, well, my aunt was deaf, so I knew some sign language, and I said, and then he went on to say, she was born with an upside-down heart. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool. And then when they turned her heart correctly, she lost her hearing.
Oh.
And I said, wait a minute. This just took everything that we know about Harvey Lillard, in my opinion only maybe, that the T4 area, we know this supplies the heart. That's where the heart comes from. And if that T4 sympathetic chain ganglion was responsible for that and they tweaked that, that went back and caused a deafness. What if they adjusted to T4 again? Would that restore hearing? But it all came back to the same exact thing because the heart going to the same area as that sympathetic chain ganglion yes. and so at T4. So that all came into play. So right now, I'm going back 127 years, and I'm relating that to stuff that's going on today. So in my opinion, it works out really well.
Is there a traditional or common type of chiropractor who practices here in Anchorage?
Where did I read that? Maybe it was a dream. Maybe it was a dream. It was some kind of statistic that came in my head in the last 24 hours that like 80-some percent of us practice the same way. There are those outliers on either side that do things like hot rocks and everything on this side, and then over here you want the drugs and non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and chiropractic, which shouldn't be there. So there are those outliers. But maybe it was Dr. Tiny and Dr. Kurt I was talking to last night that we're talking about that. I don't know. We were talking about that. But the practice of chiropractic should be to remove subluxation. You could do ancillary procedures. You could do all kinds of other things as well. But most of us want to remove nerve interference so the body can heal itself.
What type of chiropractor are you?
A damn fine one.
Yes, you are. You might say.
I'm a hands-only, adjustment-only facility. So is Dr. Foley. We used to have a bigger facility. We had a larger clinic, and we thought, well, let's do a little bit more active therapy. Let's do some therapeutic modalities that are active, and we did the neck exercises and wobble boards, and I just didn't feel like it was my cup of tea, and I got back into it. So we moved downtown 8 years ago. I said, I'm going back to be the most real chiropractor I can be.
Back to basics,
and yet basics are not basic. It's pretty incredible. So we're doing exams, we're doing X-rays, we're doing adjustments, we're giving counseling on nutrition, and not the entire time, but we'll talk to you about nutrition, we'll talk to you about exercises, we'll talk to you about sleep and mattresses, and we're still have a mouth and we still talk to you about things, but our main focus is a chiropractic adjustment.
Are you, as the type of chiropractor you are, compatible with modern medicine?
Absolutely, 100%. We see a lot of medical doctors. We see a lot of people in that. And if just because you're under medical care does not mean you can't be under chiropractic care. Just because you're under chiropractic care doesn't mean I'm going to say, well, you can't take those medicines that you're under. Well, that's not fair. You're in some kind of disease process or some kind of condition. We work with people together all the time, co-working together. I missed a word. It just came. I don't know what it was. Concurrent treatment with other providers, and me not. And that's what you have to say, treatment, but concurrent care. We do that all the time.
What does it mean to be a non-vitalistic chiropractor?
Oh, the mechanistic. Your definition that you read in Webster's: musculoskeletal only, adjusting for symptoms, and that is just here's my problem. Here's what I'm going to adjust. Versus the vitalistic chiropractor who wants to understand the entire body's working and work on the entire system and create a balance, create a tone, allow the adaptation and coordination to take place, mm-hmm. know that there's a higher power that is giving us our innate intelligence, what is controlling us every single second of the day.
In our conversations over the last 2 years, we have learned from you that chiropractic has been used for thousands of years all over the world. We have also learned that chiropractic was founded here in the United States by D.D. Palmer in 1895. He suggested that 95% of all diseases were due to subluxations in the spine, and the remaining 5% were due to subluxations in the arms and legs. How could this man, who many called a charlatan, be so right about something 127 years ago?
Isn't that crazy how some of them are so right? And they did. They moved bones. They did bone setting. They did different things with the spine. And it wasn't until D.D. Palmer, 127 years ago, actually gave the first adjustment with intention and specific adjustments versus more of a gross manipulation mm-hmm. or just a big movement of bone using the spinous process, transverse process to set the bone. He knew because he was working on the system of health. He was in that time period where AT still was developing osteopathy, and he was in that period where there was a change of the medical world and the osteopathic world and the chiropractic world trying to come up with a system of health. And it was Hippocrates that said, look well to the spine for the cause of all disease. Mm-hmm. And all disease, well, 95% of disease. Okay, I like that. And we do adjust extremities. I love extremity adjusting, ankles and scaphoids in the hand and wrist and elbows. And we had an elbow yesterday that went off like a rocket. Kaboom! And that was fun. We had a couple of sprained ankles yesterday. We had shoulder problems yesterday. I love extremity adjusting. I think extremity adjusting is, I mean, I love it.
A lot of those extremities haven't been touched for a long time.
A long time. Well, I have ankle problems because I sprained my ankle when I was a kid in football, and then I still have ankle problems. Well, it was never set properly, and then you keep working on a joint that's not in the right position. And he was right from the beginning, because, you know, some people know what's right. And maybe there was other people out there that figured that out but didn't have the gumption to go forward. And it's not easy being a chiropractor, especially back then. You were jailed for practicing medicine without a license. And B.J. Palmer took all that D.D. Palmer's works, and he went forward, and he went around the world. And he was the first person with a radio station west of the Mississippi, because he wanted to get the information out there about chiropractic, and he took it to the world. And it is, you don't believe in that chiropractic. I met a guy in Arizona whose dad said he's not allowed to go to the chiropractor because, you know, he probably disown him. What kind of thinking is that? I mean, this is a kid with scoliosis, and he's off, and he needs some help. And you're gonna say that, oh, he's a chiropractor, I don't believe in that chiropractic. Why? It's right. It works for millions of people every single day. And it is not something that we should just think that, well, just because this one guy said, you know, 95% of all the problems come from the spinal system. Well, Hippocrates said it too.
Is D.D. Palmer's definition of subluxation your definition of subluxation?
I think there's only one definition of subluxation, so it's not my definition. It's
right.
Not, and my philosophy of chiropractic is not my philosophy. It is the philosophy of chiropractic. The art of chiropractic is my art versus the different types of art of chiropractic. Then we all practice a little bit differently. That gives us our arena to practice in, and we can do what we want. We're not regulated by different techniques, so we can practice activator techniques with an instrument. We can Atlas Orthogonal. We can do hands-on. We can do Thompson, Diversified, Gonstead. We're free to choose our technique, our art, and you better know that art very, very well. But there's science behind it. There's art, and there's philosophy, and it's a three-legged stool.
Dr. Kersey, it's been reported that some in modern medicine have said that subluxation does not usually need to be treated. How do you, as a chiropractor, respond to that statement?
Oh, look at Medicare, right? Medicare says, hey, you need to take an X-ray of your patient if you're in Medicare provider, and you need to prove X-ray subluxation on X-ray. You need to demonstrate that subluxation on X-ray, and then they'll pay for care. Well, if Medicare, if the government's saying you have to show subluxation, which is shown, and then they'll pay for it. Well, then they're acknowledging that it's out there, and then they're trying to change the wording of subluxation. But it is a misalignment, and if it doesn't need to be treated, as you say, well, then it leads to degenerative changes. So if you're looking to say, okay, we don't need to take care of this now, we'll wait until it becomes degenerative, we'll wait until it needs surgery. Yeah, that doesn't need to be taken care of. We don't need to catch that early. We don't need to do something about it early and prevent further problems. Let's just wait and see what happens later, and then we'll make our $60,000 doing neck surgery.
I don't believe that in my 65 years of visiting my doctors, I've heard them use the term chiropractic subluxation. Is the medical profession coming around to chiropractic?
No!
Okay.
No. I mean, they come around to chiropractic, but they don't even want to use those words. And then they'll say, oh, we have some medical doctors out there to say, oh, you have degenerative arthritis. You can't see a chiropractor. He'll kill you. What? If we didn't see people with degenerative changes, if we didn't see disc bulges, disc herniations, disc sequestrations, if we didn't see those problems, we wouldn't be in business. The amount of problems out there that we see are just incredible. We see all the problems. Everything the medical doctor's seeing, we see as well. All right, well, maybe not. Maybe we're not, you know, people aren't coming in with a severed arm off their, you know, off their body because, you know, we're not in that arena. But, yeah, we see all those problems. And some medical doctors are great. And we have referrals from medical doctors. What? You mean they work with us? Yeah, they work with us. And we have a great relationship with a lot of medical doctors. But, you know, they don't really know exactly what we do. And I don't know how to do a shoulder surgery. I don't know how to do anything like that. And I don't want to know. That's their arena. And I'm over here on my side of the street. You're over there on your side of the street. Let's not cross roads, but let's refer to each other. Let's do it for the benefit of the patient. And that's what it should be about. So I like the medical doctors that understand what we do and refer to us. And the ones that don't, I don't really care.
You ought to have an open house for medical
doctors.
Yeah, over.
Well, we did that. You know, I spoke to the doctors at Anchorage Fracture Orthopedic Clinic. I mean, we went over there, and it was, and so they wanted our referrals, and they said, you know, we would like the referral for MRI. And I said, well, how about you listening to what I do? And they said, okay. So 13, 14 medical doctors gathered around a table, and I explained to them chiropractic. I thought, well, this was nice.
Yes.
And I'm still friendly with all those. I didn't see an influx of pain. I wasn't looking for that. I just wanted you to understand a little bit more what we do and what we see versus what you think we do and see.
How impactful to a person's health can a vertebral subluxation be when it is left unattended and undetected for decades?
You go all the way to death. You could say that can lead to an earlier death, because that system, everybody had to coordinate and adapt to that little problem, and that little problem led to other little problems, and there was compensation for here and there. And I mean, you could really take it to wherever you want. Or you could say, well, I wouldn't have had. Oh, okay. So yesterday, we have to go all the way back. I know it's Tuesday, but we have to go all the way back to Monday. And I saw a patient yesterday, and we did an exam, and I 40 some years old, never saw a chiropractor before. I said, your findings in the examination are determining that we should probably take an x-ray of this spine and see what's going on. I believe you have some lower cervical degenerative changes that have been here for a while, and then here's this problem here, and then it sounds like your lower back. And so we took a full spine x-ray, severe degeneration exactly where we thought on C5, C6, because I want to see what's on the x-ray in my head before I take the x-ray. And then she came in and then had an L3 problem. So I said, old disc herniation. I said, did you ever have uterine problems? Did you ever have like female symptom problems? And well, not really. Well, I did have a softball size cyst in my ovary, and I had some endometriosis. I said, so what you're saying is yes. So the L3 area supplying that area was degenerative in nature and had a disc problem. Was it the disc problem that caused the endometriosis and the cyst, or was it the cyst and the endometriosis that caused the degenerative changes because of the two-way street of the nervous system going back and forth? But we can relate that exactly to the problems that they have. I don't know where I was going with that, but it was beautiful.
Well, it was a great answer.
And so we can relate all those problems. It's just not about pain. That person didn't relate. Oh, so how can that undetected subluxation left untreated cause problems? I'm going to say it caused endometriosis and ovarian cyst and everything else, because that was an injury and that was improper information coming from that mid-lumbar spine to that area it was supplying. So in my opinion, it was right there. I'm like, well, I'll ask. I asked, she told, it was exactly correlated.
Do subluxations have the power to inhibit the body's innate ability to express life and function within us?
I think that is the definition of subluxation. That's what it does. I mean, if when you have subluxation, nice job, David.
I should have been a chiropractor.
Yeah, you should have been a chiropractor. Well, you know what? You're pretty good at what you do. So the subluxation will actually lead to that, and it's exactly what you're saying.
You would use, as my chiropractor, what I call a high-velocity, low-amplitude thrust when manipulating my spine.
Yes.
Why has that come to work so well for you after nearly 30 years?
Because that's the definition of an adjustment. When you do an adjustment, it is a high-velocity, low-thrust. That's what it is. And, my other chiropractor just stretches and pushes until it goes. No, that's not an adjustment. When you're going in there, you're stimulating primary sympathetic muscle spindle fibers. You need that response. That's what you need to do. And if you're not doing that, it's not an adjustment. And that's why those little clickers work. So it's super high velocity, right? So there's little clickers in the Atlas Ortho and all the other things we experience. That's an adjustment. And yeah, you better be quick on your adjustment. You better get in there and boom. And it's not a stretch response. It's not a massage response. That does different things. But an adjustment, that high velocity, low amplitude, that's what you want.
You are moving the spine, but are you moving the spine by large amounts?
I'm not. No, it's like an impulse force over time.
Okay.
Kind of like braces on your teeth. Over time, they tighten. The body's same response, the impulse force over time with that adjustment. I throw the force in there. Your body is the one that's putting it back in place. Your body is the one that's understanding where it needs to be. It was subluxated. It was misaligned. It was now adjusted, and now your body is going to try to get to that spot of better. We had a guy yesterday. yesterday. I know, way back to yesterday.
Wow, 24 hours.
In a car accident, and a pretty good amount of degenerative changes with spurring in the mid-thoracic spine. And in the beginning of his care, there was not a lot of movement into that spine. We adjusted him, he says, that was unbelievable. He said, the amount of movement in my spine is tremendous. And this is a guy that's 50 years old. Maybe he's older than me. Maybe he's a little older than me. I'm now 53. But his spine is moving better now after a car accident, after an impact, now coming in, and after it's been a while. He got crushed pretty hard, so it's been a good year of care for him to get to this point. And he's doing incredible. So his spine is now moving where it wasn't moving before. Again, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah, it's that. Yeah.
And incidentally, 53 is the new 41.
It's the new 41.
There you go. A chiropractic spinal manipulation has been proven safe with rare risk after all these years. How did people come to believe that there is a risk of stroke if the neck is manipulated?
Oh, the old stroke.
We hear it all the time. Yeah, so it's still out there.
And this word manipulation, I'm letting you use it today instead
of
adjustment.
Thank you. Adjustment.
But, you know, that's all right. I'll let you use it. It's out there because and when you have those vertebral arteries that go up and down the sides of the cervical spine, the neck, when one's occluded or blocked off, and then you turn and you twist your head in such a way, you can actually occlude the other one, close off the other one, and that leads to stroke. And sometimes when you're in a position where you're maybe laying down and your head's turned to the one side, and then it's extended, and then there's a thrust, maybe there's a possibility in there, and maybe that can cause a stroke-like symptoms, but probably not. So then they used to say, well, you have a 1 in 4.1 million chance of getting a stroke from a chiropractic like adjustment. And they say like adjustment because it was usually the barber doing it or someone else doing it.
Right.
It wasn't the chiropractor doing it. And then they said, well, you know, chances are you can get struck by lightning twice in the same spot versus having a stroke. So then the medical doctors decided to do a study a couple years ago, and I'm not real sure because the last couple of years, I'm not even sure how long that was the last 2 years because it was like, poof, gone. But they did a study and they said, what are the chances of getting a stroke from a chiropractic adjustment versus anything else? And they found, the study actually showed, that it doesn't matter if you're going to the medical doctor, the chiropractor, the osteopath, the massage therapist, or your hairdresser that day, the chiropractor. If you were going to have a stroke that day, you're going to have a stroke that day. And there's not a whole lot of prevention on that and wherever you are. So and they also had an incidental finding like they had with the one study on low back pain. I had to figure out that study. It wasn't the Merck study. It begins with an M and I can never remember it until I get out of here. But they had an incidental finding when they were saying the chiropractic is number one for low back pain. Oh, it's also number one for cervicogenic headaches. But they didn't publish that data because they weren't paid to publish that data. What they actually, because it was a low back study, but with the stroke study, they were actually finding that if you're going to a chiropractor, your incidence of stroke seemed to be less.
Oh.
Huh. So why were they doing that? There's a guy on the East Coast in Connecticut that puts up billboards and stroke by a chiropractor. We'll, you know, sue them. There's a whole lot of people out there that want to go against chiropractic to try to get rid of chiropractic, and it's not working because it's all based on science, and it's safe and effective. It's conservative. It's cost effective. It is.
With a neck adjustment, and I use the word adjustment this time.
Oh, good job, Dave.
Is it possible to damage the blood vessels that supply the brain, leading to a stroke and the death of brain tissue?
No, not if it's done correctly. It's almost impossible to do. I mean, if you already have pre-existing conditions, that's when you have to, so it may be possible. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm saying it may be possible. But that's why we do our examinations and we look for different signs and symptoms of stroke, of problems, when we do that. There's a thing called George's test where we elevate and you make you look over your shoulder and see if you pass out. Okay, well, that's a pretty good idea that something's going on in there. So there are things that we do to look for signs of stroke. And then when you hear these things like, oh, they had a stroke after an adjustment. Well, they were already having a stroke when they walked into the chiropractor's office, and maybe that chiropractor didn't recognize that they were having a stroke or led to some, you know, thought it was something else, and they continue to stroke. So it's not like they came in and said, oh, I'm feeling great today. No, they were there with a problem that was probably related to stroke-like symptoms and it wasn't recognized. And we know that the one of the leading causes of death in America is iatrogenic disease caused by medical care. And that's just, that just happens to be. That's not me poo-pooing medical care. That's just, I mean, and failure to respond. So that would be as the same thing with the chiropractor. That failure to respond in that incident would be the reason that person stroked.
When I put these shows together, I continue to encounter misinformation. Who is turning out misleading information these days about the chiropractic industry enough that it takes on a life of its own and then becomes believed by the public?
It's unbelievable. Well, there's a chiropractor on TikTok doing the exact same thing. He's going against chiropractic for TikTok views. I mean, that's absurd. But it only takes one person to change the world, right? D.D. Palmer did it with the first chiropractic adjustment. One person can say something and other people can believe it. And, oh, somebody wants to jump on that and believe that. Oh, I'll get on that person's group. But it was the medical doctors that tried to get rid of chiropractic in the beginning. So it was that group. And usually the ones that are doing that was the medical facility. But we won our lawsuit and they can't do that anymore. And we know that they can't do that. And we work together. We're all friends. We have dinner together. It's not like we're against one another. We're trying to be about the patient. But there are people out there that just don't like us, and it's a shame.
It's like the Phillies versus the Yankees.
Yo, the Phillies. They're playing today against the Diamondbacks, and my boy's going to the game, and the Phillies going to win. They lost a seven-run lead yesterday. They lost 11-7.
Welcome to Sports Talk here at the KBYR. What can you say to this audience about the proven benefit of regular chiropractic maintenance checks?
Oh, maintenance. We had a new word the other day, and I forget what it was. I said, oh, we got to start calling it that. But maintenance checks, it's just – we talk about once you go to chiropractor, you always got to go. You know, I went to the dentist the other day, and he said I got to come back in 6 months to make sure I'm okay again. Huh. Well, that nobody says anything bad about the dentist.
No.
Can you believe once you go to the dentist, you always have to go? I said to the patient, it was last week when he was sitting in the office, and I said, he said, yeah, I heard you, once you always got to go. That's why I never went. I said, you buy a car? Yeah. I said, you got to change it to oil? Yeah, you gotta put gas in it. Yeah, so there's all these things that we don't associate with doing things correctly. If we have a nervous system, wouldn't you want to check that thing every once in a while, make sure it was functioning correctly before there's problems? Maintenance care, wellness care. Our number's been 569 well for 20 some years. So it is what we want. We want the well patient coming in without signs and symptoms and problems so we can make sure things are going well so you don't have problems. Why wait till you have problems and then have to go through a corrective phase? Because correction is more expensive. So don't wait till there's correction. Like the lady yesterday with the elbow problem, I don't know why I waited so long. Well, because that's what you do. You wait until there's pain, enough pain until you come back in, and then you have to be here a couple visits because you waited so long that we got to get that momentum built up again to get you back on track. But wellness care is where it's at. Maintenance care is where it's at. And that the little practice I opened in Arizona just because I need something to do on Thursday, Friday when the kids are at school every other week, I did that. And you know, we have a great little wellness practice. And there's a lot of students there. And there's a lot of ASU students or Pinnacle High School students or we have a couple other high schools that they come in and they're getting checked and they're maintaining their wellness. And the people are waiting those 2 weeks to come in and make sure they're maintaining their spinal health. That's fantastic. That's fun. That's a great little practice because it's not a lot of pain people coming in. It's all about, hey, here I am, back for my wellness check.
As a spokesperson for your own industry, are you open to having one-on-one conversations with people who have fear about your industry or have gone down rabbit holes with misconceptions or untruths about chiropractic?
If I didn't, David, I wouldn't be in practice because we deal with that every single day. I mean, we deal with that from the new patients that we had yesterday to the practices we've seen over 27 years. And some of the best patients are the skeptical patients that come in and say, I heard this is horrible and I don't want to be here and I don't want to be here. And they end up being fantastic patients and they understand because it's the lack of understanding of what we do and who we are that has caused a lot of problems. And when you actually get, you know, I use the word poo-poo again, when you poo-poo chiropractic and say, hey, I don't believe in this or I don't think that, do you have an experience with it or are you just listening to somebody else? I don't take medication in my adult life. Well, is that because I believe what somebody else is saying or is it just because of my own experience? I just don't do it. But I mean, it works for other people and I don't go against what they're doing. I just do what I do. And when people actually come in and they learn what chiropractic is all about and they learn what we do as providers and healthcare providers, because that's what we are, healthcare. We're not disease and crisis care, although there are a lot of crisis situations that we see with people. We are healthcare providers, and you just have to learn what we do.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Arizona on AM 700 KBYR. Our conversation with Dr. Kersey continues right after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh, and lately I have been experiencing jaw pain. It's the kind of jaw pain that makes you feel as if the night before you were in the octagon with an experienced MMA fighter who knows how to work the head and head area with his or her hands. When it came to wanting to feel better, I didn't think twice before making an appointment with my chiropractor. Jaw pain is the topic of our next conversation with Dr. Kersey. You know, first of all, what's inflamed in or near my jaw, and what is it connected to that is causing this pain around my head?
The temporomandibular joint.
There we go.
Dysfunction. So people come in and say, I have TMJ. I said, I have two. Because TMJ is just temporomandibular joint. But if you have temporomandibular joint dysfunction or jaw pain, you can have a misalignment of the jaw joint, right? The temporomandibular joint. So there is a possibility that it is that, or there is a possibility that it is all cervical related, and the cervical muscles in the your neck muscles relate to the jaw muscles, and you could have a subluxation in the cervical spine, which is causing jaw pain. Usually, I'll wait until the second adjustment to do a jaw adjustment before I figure out if it's cervical related or if it's actually coming from the joint itself.
I see.
So we will work with you on that one, but we get some nice audibles out of jaws too. It's
some
nice
popping.
Yeah, man, you get like a little on the face and you go boop and you put that jaw back in.
Are there a host of other problems that can originate from a jaw that's misaligned?
Absolutely. We know that Tex-Neck's bad, right? We know that that's bad for headaches, and it's causing enthesiopathic changes coming from the external occipital protuberance, which is causing horns coming off the back of these kids' heads. We know that there's a lot of problems from Tex-Neck, but it also will change your jaw structure. Now, if you jut your jaw forward or backwards and you move your head back and forth, you can actually see how that correlates to as much flexion or extension you can get. You can jut your jaw forward and turn your head left and right and see how that changes. So there is a direct correlation between the jaw and the neck.
And how would spinal misalignment cause jaw pain? Something way in the back coming all the way up to the...
Isn't that crazy? So it's just because of the way the body is made. It is in... If you're in biomechanical disadvantage, if you're not structured correctly, like the body was meant to be structured, you're going to have biomechanical disadvantages, and that means if your neck is off, that's going to lead to the structure of the shoulders. It's got to go to the mid back. It's got to go to your jaw. It can come up around the back of your head into your eyes.
Right.
There's all kinds of different things called symptoms that we can have because of misalignment of structure of the spine. So,
are you seeing more problems like TMJ that come from poor posture and, let's say, the overuse of devices?
Absolutely, especially in the children. And but we do see that, and it is rampant. And if you go on my wall, my little chalkboard, when you walk in, it says increases TMJ problems, increases heartburn, indigestion, and the one thing that increases is it drives me crazy because I yell all the time about the text.
Yes, you do.
I don't like it.
Like in our spine, does proper motion have to be restored in the temporomandibular joint in order for it to function normally and for me to be pain-free?
Absolutely. And if it's not tracking right, how's that going to get better? Oh, we'll put some spacers in here. We'll do some stuff. Back in the early 90s, Dr. Getzoff with the dentist, I don't know his name, but they did a very nice journal of manipulative therapeutic, what's it called? JMPT. A Journal of Manipulative Physiological Therapeutics. They did a very nice study with dental co-treatment and chiropractic, and they were showing how if you get adjusted after your dental work was done to try to restore your jaw function, well, then they had to redo the dental work because now it was functioning properly again. So working together with Dental World is great because we can get the jaw back in line, so they don't have to do as much work, but they're doing it again for the patient. They're not sending us patients because they want to do splints and they want to get to the cause of the problem too, and they can because they are good at wellness or maintenance care of teeth. They don't have to worry about things like that. They don't have to do things wrong for patients because they have that share of the market where they're taking care of them. So they want what's right for the patient. So we can adjust the jaw and allow them to do their work and work together. So I think it's great.
Are you a proponent of trigger point therapy? And if so, how does that work to relieve a person's pain?
Trigger point therapy is great. And so if I find a trigger point, and I might push on that, and I might do a little bit of trigger point work, and there's a lot of that in the upper back and shoulder area that causes that. And to relieve that tension of that muscle spasm that is there because there's an excitement of the nerve, because there's irritation of the nerve from above, and it causes a trigger point. I have nothing wrong with trigger point therapy. I think it's great. I'm not a fan of throwing an lidocaine injection in there to relieve that. I just think that's wrong. The body's tightening up and spasming for a reason, because there's pressure on nerves. We have to, again, get to the cause of the problem so we don't have those trigger points. I have no problem with trigger point therapy. I think it's great.
These days, you see people with braces and structures around their face and jaw, or they're having surgery to put the jaw back in place. Is it realistic to think that a consultation with a chiropractor could be a second option?
I think it should be your first option, because, again, we always want to go conservative first. We don't want to go to surgery and then say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have gone more conservative first. We'll do some things conservatively to the jaw and see if it's jaw-related, neck-related. What is that from? Is that postural-related? Is that coming from your head being on your chest all day long? Is it anterior weight-bearing, or is it your head jutting forward? What is that due to? And let's get to the cause of the problem and do a conservative approach first, and then we'll go towards the other routes if it's not working. We had a guy who had severe jaw pain, dizziness, and he was an airline pilot. He had to stop flying, and went with our care, and then went to a jaw expert in Florida or something like that, and it was, they were adjusting him down there. It was a different chiropractor and the orthodontist and everybody working together and the vestibular. He's better now, so it worked.
Will you encourage someone to consider the alternative of chiropractic versus a more invasive treatment when it comes to their jaw pain?
Yeah, and I would say that the alternative should be the opposite. It should be chiropractic number one, look at the jaw, look at the spine, and then alternatively go to the orthodontic route if it's not sitting properly. Now, it all depends on your problem, but I think the chiropractic should be first on that, because that's what we can do that. Why not a simple adjustment versus months of orthodontic care? I mean, and again, orthodontics are great. I mean, I appreciate nice teeth and nice jaw working, and I like that. But I think that if there's a simple solution of jaw misalignment, we should be number one. We should not be alternative to that other treatment.
What is the goal of a chiropractic adjustment on a jaw?
Oh, it is to set the jaw back into proper joint motion. It could be offset. You can get, so if you were talking about that, like you feel like you got hit by a MMA fighter.
Yes.
If you do get a concussion of forces to the jaw on one side and it misaligns, doesn't it just make sense that we put that jaw back in? I mean, if you open your mouth in your mirror and you see it going off to one side and then coming back, that's not working right. Your jaw should go up and down smoothly. If there's crunching, crepitus in the jaw, that's probably not working correctly. Nothing wrong with crepitus if there's no pain and there's no problem and there's a little bit of joint mice in there. That's what we call them. But the jaw should go up and down. So if you look in the mirror, open your jaw, see if it goes straight up and down. If it doesn't, there is a misalignment there, and that's going to lead to the non-occlusion of the teeth properly. Your teeth aren't going to come together properly. And when we do a jaw adjustment, we'll often see when the jaw comes together, they bite properly. We had a lady in Arizona, young, I think she's probably 19, 20, maybe she's 20, 21. Anyway, she came and couldn't close her jaw for years. And we adjusted her jaw, and she cried and cried because she can close her teeth. She can now eat sandwiches, which she couldn't do for years. And she's been through the non-conservative approach to that, and she's gone through it all, and severe headaches and coming from jaw. But her jaw was way whacked, and so we got it back in whack. And she's doing fantastic right now. To eat a sandwich for her was huge.
Hey, one last question. The sport of MMA and boxing here in this community has exploded.
Yeah.
Very popular. What do you say to those people who are taking repeated blows to the face and the jaw? I mean, crushing blows.
I say, ouch, you poor thing. I can't watch MMA. It freaks me out.
Is the damage horrendous to you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have chiropractic care. I mean, if they're not getting chiropractic care, I mean, I don't know who needs chiropractic care more than that. But I really do think that most of them do probably have a chiropractor. Boxing, I said to this one guy who was a boxer, and he was a very good boxer. Thursday night fights, he actually went on to do some amateur fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at his neck and I said, how's this possible? How do you have no degeneration, no problems? He goes, oh, I never got hit. And I said, why? He goes, yeah, I pride myself on never getting hit. So he was a good boxer. So if you are boxing and you're not getting hit in the face, good for you. But the MMA, that freaks me out.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. Our conversation with Dr. Kersey continues after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Sturr. Dr. Kersey, what do you want to say or be able to say about your life when you reach 100 or beyond?
Oh, he did a good job helping people. He was a good daddy. I think helping people is fantastic. And being dad's number one, but helping people.
Do you want to be an example of living a life of wellness?
Yeah, I try to live that life of wellness. I try to do most things right, and I think that we lead by example. It's not do as I say, not as I do. It's do as I do because we're doing it together, and I get adjusted. Dr. Foley adjusts me on a regular basis. Not every day, but he adjusts me on a regular basis, right, at least once a week, and I exercise. I try to eat right. Thanks to Dr. Adams and Dr. Adams last night. Went over there, my radiologist and Dr. Adams, and they fed me a nice little dinner last night. It was nice. Unexpected. So I try to eat correctly. I try to think correctly, and you gotta work on thinking correctly.
Yes,
you gotta
work
on your positive mental attitude. You have to work on getting rid of the negative thoughts throughout the day because they're gonna be there. And self-talk is, we're talking to ourselves all day long, whether we realize it or not. And you have to work on that. And that's something I'm diligently working on. I will, after 30 years of wanting to meditate, I will start meditating.
Are you using that Jersey voice when you talk to yourself?
Yeah,
I thought so.
What are you doing? What are you? As my 5-year-old cousin back 40 years ago or something like that said to her mother, we were having dinner over in South Philly, and she says to her mother, she's like 5 years old, she goes, what are you, stupid in the head? And I thought, that's really funny. And a little 5 years. So sometimes I say to myself, what are you, stupid in the head? So, I try to not be stupid in the head.
It must be like talking to the cast of The Sopranos.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, what are you thinking over there?
What does being Alaskan mean to you? And does it equal being a guy from the East Coast?
No, it's different. I mean, this is a whole different world up here. And it is different, but it's different culture. Somebody was saying that their kid didn't like the culture of back East Coast culture, and I said, you don't like my culture. But it's different up here, but we're all just people, and we're all the same. Wherever we are, we're all just people, and we all just want to be happy and healthy and try to do things correctly. And I think that's what my goal is, to help as many people as I can become as healthy and as nice as possible.
Last 30 seconds. When you look in the mirror, are you seeing the choices that you make concerning your health and wellness visible over time?
Are you talking about my bald spot?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I think that when I look in the mirror, I go, ugh. But no, I mean, I'm in pretty good shape. I'm a 6'1", 185 pound guy who's in pretty decent shape, and I feel absolutely fine. I could use a little more chiseled abs, but other than that, I mean, I feel like I'm making the right decisions. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us and being so truthful with us and sharing your story. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Kersey Chiropractic at what number, Doc?
907-569-9355.
Dr. Kersey's going to join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversation Unlimited. For now, I'm Dave Stroh. Have a good week.